Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Welcome back to Mind Your Biz Today, South Florida listeners. This is Janie Smith, your host. I am the author of Creating Competitive Advantage and CEO of Smart Advantage. Smart Advantage helps companies identify their competitive advantages and show them how to sell more without lowering the price. Please visit our website, both of them, the radio show, mindyourbiztoday.com. We'd love to hear your suggestions for future shows. We want to respond to your needs as you struggle with or are trying to grow your business. Special thanks to our sponsor, the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova. And welcome to the show. Today, we're beginning the new year in January as a challenging year and a questionable year. As we look at what we see in the paper day to day, we can't tell if we're up or down every single day. So I have a guest today, Ian McDougall. He's been on the show before, and Ian is the founder and CEO of Corporate Life Cycles. It's a consulting firm that specializes in large-scale organizational change. His work includes a diagnosis of your company and what's the organization's mission, values, strategy, and structure. I've been privileged to know Ian for a number of years, and he and I are constantly comparing our work. And we thought that today's program, being a January program in the beginning of the year, would be interesting for us to dialogue about what this new year is going to bring and what, in all of this questionable economic environment, we should be focused on. So welcome, Ian. Welcome to the show. Thanks
Thank
for being
you.
With us.
Thank you.
We're going to just have a dialogue and hope that we will give you some ideas for how to think about the future. So I want to start with asking Ian a question. As he pointed out to me earlier, we're entering the second decade of the millennium. We finished 2010, and in 2011, what will separate the winners from the losers going forward? We've come out of the storm, rough waters for mostly every company. What do we do now, Ian?
Well, thanks, Janie. First of all, I think I can confidently say the following. Some companies will thrive, and others will barely survive. And why this is because, as you said, we're living in times of unprecedented change, and companies everywhere, at least this is what I'm hearing, they're experiencing severe turbulence and uncertainty. Of course, none of this is new. Change has been here forever, and we'll always have change. But what's new is, it seems to me, is that change is accelerating.
Change is accelerating in leaps and bounds. The technology has my head spinning. I can't keep up with getting the new iPad or the Galaxy Droid and figuring out how to use it. There are so many applications to help us be better, and we continually feel like on a very simple level that if we're not keeping up with something as simple as the next app for managing our time, we're going to be behind.
Well, absolutely. I mean, for example, there's been more technological innovation in the last 30 years than all of history. And why is that? Because there's more scientists, there are more engineers, literally, by the way, alive today than cumulatively since the beginning of time.
And we have to note that many of them are not in the U.S.
Well, absolutely. Can I just make this point, Janie, for our listeners, that approximately 12 years ago, some of you may remember, Voyager 1 left the surface of the Earth. And exactly 14 days later, Voyager 2 was launched. Now, Personally, I don't have the slightest idea where they are, but I understand it'll be like 40,000 more years before they find anything even remotely interesting. But why I'm telling you this is what's remarkable here is that there's more advanced technology in your mobile phone sitting there than was in these two spacecrafts combined. And that just took 12 years. I mean, that's just incredible.
That is incredible. I mean, the thing that we always highlight is how when IBM first came out with the monster that took up a whole office building as a
exactly.
computer that now fits in a tiny, tiny chip in your phone.
Exactly.
It's incredible what has happened. And so that has us spinning so fast that businesses have to keep up technologically as well as with the changing pace of everything from monetary changes that are questionable to business practices that are going to be different.
Right.
So what are the implications from your point of view for this rapid changing in technology and other aspects
well,
of business?
I think the first thing is that companies are going to have to accept something new, and that is that they're going to have to make strategic decisions more often than before. As a matter of fact, most likely, I'm predicting that a company will no longer have the luxury of trying to wait to see if a certain strategy has worked. They won't have the luxury of, identifying the outcomes of the strategy before they have to do what? Come up with a new one, because change is happening that fast. And there's something else, by the way, that's different about change. It's increasingly what I call systemic. What that means is that, a change in the marketplace in the old days could be addressed by the sales and marketing people alone. That's no longer true. If you're going to successfully manage that, you're probably going to have to get IT involved, production, human resources, and even finance might have to get in on the act.
Well, that's so interesting what you say because, as you, Ian, I know you're somewhat familiar with the work Smart Advantage does. And when we go into an organization, we want around the table every one of those disciplines. We said, don't just bring us the management and don't just bring us sales. Bring us somebody from each and every one of your disciplines. And what we often do is we test them first. We say, what do you all think is important to your customers? And we're shocked to find that 95% of the companies have the executives sitting around the room from all those disciplines that all have a different opinion. And if they're not on the same page, they're not going to thrive. They won't be the survivors going forward. They must have a blueprint for going forward that they're in agreement on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the hard truth is that companies that are prepared to deal with change are actually invigorated by it.
Yes, Ram Charan writes about execution, and that's the thing with my clients, and I know you have clients very similar to mine. We can go in there and we can show them the way, but if they don't execute, and execution, besides, we all know it's paramount, it's amazing how difficult it is for many companies. They get stuck in their old ways, they won't have behavior changes, and they will not be around at the end of 2011 and 2012 and so on, because these are not going to be good times. They're going to be better times, but all the predictions are it's still going to be tough, and we're seeing that. So you've got to be able to execute.
Absolutely. And do you agree with this, that change, in fact, change is a company's best ally if they're ready for it?
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And if there was no change, even mediocre companies would catch up with you.
That's correct.
So in other words, change is a way for organizations to differentiate themselves if they're able to move faster in a proactive kind
yes,
of way.
The ability to change and execute internally is a phenomenal internal competitive advantage. You have to be marching one step ahead of the competition. I always use in my talks the Warren Buffett quote that a competitive advantage can build a moat around a company, and businesses have to be in the moat building business. They have to change. Change builds the moat, and how do we do that? So, tell me more about what you think about how we get this change done.
Well, one of the first questions I like to ask in an organization is, I ask, is change good or is it bad?
Yeah, we know it's good, but they get nervous when they hear the word, right?
Well, I say when you look at your environment, we talked about technology. There's economic change, there's political change, there's legal change, there's sociodemographic change. We just had the new mm-hmm. census has just come out, mm-hmm. and that's showing quite significant changes in population shifts and the demographics of the USA. And of course, there's change in market forces, and competitors are constantly trying to do things to disrupt you. So when a company looks at that, do they see these disruptive? Do they see these things as problems, or do they see them as opportunities? And the companies that see them as opportunities, by the way, I read the other day that in China, they only have one word for both problem and opportunity, which is kind of interesting.
Yes, I have heard that.
Exactly. So what they're saying is that the it can be either or. It really depends on your own point of view.
Yes, I have to say I can't resist this. I just heard this morning when they're talking about the information and the census coming out. Did you see what Jay Leno said? He said we now have 308 million people in the U.S., and the big change is that half of them are Americans. So, you know, that's a tongue-in-cheek and a laugh, but it's
right.
also true and also a very big change, because
right.
as we continue to shift in demographics and cultural changes, that is another adaptation that businesses have to make. And that's not as easy as it sounds either, because you're in the workplace, you're bringing in all these different cultures and languages, and how everybody operates within a culture is different.
Right.
And how does a leader and how does an organization account for that? We're getting close to needing to take a
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
I think companies have to do in the future is they have to stop thinking about doing strategic planning and start thinking about being entrepreneurial.
Oh, God, I love that.
Here's the difference. Planning is deciding what to do tomorrow after you find out what happened yesterday.
I love that, Ian.
Entrepreneuring is doing something today because you already know tomorrow is going to be different from yesterday.
That's brilliant. I love that. And I got to tell you, the companies I see that spend lots of time and money on strategic planning, when they're done with it, where does the plan go?
On the shelf.
We all can say that in unison. And they know it, and their employees know it. So what's the point in spending the time or the money? I mean, it's good to get together and say, where are we going to go this year, and how are we going to do it? And you have to set some benchmarks, but you've got to be able to change on a dime.
Well, the outcome is they usually feel virtuous and they feel good about themselves, but as you say, often nothing happens.
And it's generally not based on the voice of the customer. And after the break, I want you and I to talk a lot about that, about how the customer can really help these entrepreneurs stay on course and not drift too far afield. Because I know that in my work with competitive advantage, that's key. So, again, this is Janie Smith. I'm your host of Mind Your Biz Today. We're going to take a station break, and then we're going to come back, and Ian McDougall, founder of Corporate Life Cycles, and I are going to talk a little bit more about what businesses are facing, again, in 2011, thanking Nova, Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova, for our sponsor. We'll hear from them, and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned. Go to mindyourbiztoday.com. Send us your notes. Thank you.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/exec-ed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida. Again, this is Janie Smith, your host of Mind Your Biz Today. Thanks for listening. We're here to help you grow your business and to give you some thought-provoking ideas on what you might do as a leader, owner, manager to help you grow your business and be more successful. That's our goal here at Mind Your Biz Today. So we're interviewing Ian McDougall. We're having a conversation about what the future holds for us in 2011 and beyond, and how business is changing so rapidly. So, Ian, you know, again, this is a wonderful conversation. I want to ask, we left off before the break talking about customers. So let's hear from you. What about customers? What haven't we addressed there? I have my views on it. I know you've got some. And I think we're kind of in accord, but from different perspectives. So let's hear.
Well, let me say this, and I hope this is not misunderstood, but if anytime I have a new client, I like to stop people at random in the company, you know, just walking through the hallway, and ask them who they work for. If they give me the name of their boss, I already know this company is in trouble.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, because I want them to give me the name of their customer.
Ah.
I mean, many people think the company pays their wages. This is not true. Who does pay their wages ultimately is the customer. The company simply handles the money on the way through.
So you ask them, who do you work for?
And who do you work for? And usually they give you the name of their boss. So they're not thinking the right way. So basically, no, there's no question about this, Jenny. The customer is going to have to be at the center of every decision that organizations make. Basically, in a very real sense. At the end of the day, the customer turns out to be the best person to tell you what you need to do to be successful.
So give me an example of one you've seen recently where that played out.
Well, you may or may not have heard of Isaac Larry and the founder of MGA. MGA is a company out in Los Angeles. They make a product called Bratz, B-R-A-T-Z, Bratz dolls. And do you mind if I just give you a direct quote?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. This is what he said. He says, I have insomnia. People in my company think I never sleep. I take home all these fan letters, and I read them at night. It's mandatory for our designers to read these letters, too. We pay attention. We make toys kids want. The secret formula is to listen carefully to kids. They tell you. If they don't like something, they say, this sucked. If they like it, they tell you. And if they want you to make it better, they tell you. Now, because of that simple philosophy, Isaac Larian, MGA, and Bratz Dolls basically took 40% of Barbie, that iconic American, classic American doll. They took 40% of the market share in 4 years.
That's amazing. Do you think Barbie stopped listening to customers?
I can only assume that they were in more aging in their life cycle, and that they just took the customer for granted.
Got complacent, and I see that in so many companies. Well, at Smart Advantage, the process we take into companies is 100% based on getting the feedback from the customer. And we go back to our clients and we say, look, we've done the research. We've done double-blind market research. We found out what your customer values. But before we share it with you, we ask the entire team to guess. And do you know what percentage of them guessed right? Less than 3%. Companies are out there selling and marketing ABC. You should buy from us because of ABC, and the customer cares about DEF, and they don't even know what that is. We bring the research back, and we say, how can you have, to the point we made earlier, how can you have a strategic plan? How do you even know what those objectives are or can be? If you haven't asked the customer what they value, you've got to deliver what's important to them, not what you think should be important to them, and or not what you're good at. Companies love to pound their chest and say, well, you should buy from us because we're really good at answering the phone on time. Well, I don't care about that. I care about if you're here in an emergency. And so those are the things we want to find out for customers, and we force our clients to listen to customers. If they don't, we won't work for them. So I'm on the same page with
Absolutely.
You, Ian. So what else? So I know you said something earlier. You were talking about Peter Drucker. What was that?
Well, Peter Drucker had this, to my mind, Peter Drucker is the guru of gurus. And he had this very interesting insight when he said that most times the customer is not buying what you think you're selling, which I think speaks to your excellent work and what you've just said. So I'm urging companies to do, if those that want to thrive in the next decade, is to consider how does this insight apply to their product or to their service. And, of course, this is not always easy to get at, but there are some questions that might help focus attention on the issue. And I would say first, and I'm interested in your views on this, first of all, they need to understand what the right way is to segment the market, because not all their customers are the same.
Right, and the other thing we show our clients is that all segments and all target markets buy for different reasons,
Absolutely.
Yet most of them use one marketing and sales message, the same one for all of them, and it doesn't work because they all have a different buying criteria.
Right. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday evening who has a lovely little niche business selling art, and I was asking her, how do you segment your market? And she didn't really understand what I meant. But what we finally figured out was some of the customers buy art for decorative purposes. Other customers buy the art for collecting, and some of them just buy it and put it in their garage. They're collecting these pieces. They don't feel that they have to show them. So that's the first question. How do you segment the customer? Another question is, what's your promise to each of these segments? Because it should be different.
That's right.
And therefore, the marketing message has to be different.
That's right.
Another question I think is excellent to ask is, what other customer problems should you be solving?
And that's the proactive. That's the how do we get out ahead of the customer?
Absolutely. And this one I really like. If your customer could buy your product or service cheaper somewhere else, why should they continue to buy it from you?
Yep, that's our song all day long, which is how do you sell value? In our mantra at Smart Advantage is you have to build confidence and remove risk in the buying decision so that price is not an issue. I agree with you 100%, Ian.
By the way, to that last point, any company that's in for a company in the information business, that becomes even more stark, because what they have to address is the fact that their customers can get what they're offering free somewhere else.
That's right.
So unless they can figure out why should they buy from us what they can get literally
for
free somewhere else, unless they can answer that, they may as well all just, you know. My suggestion is sell the company.
Yes, yes. Well, our clients, and I'm sure you see this too, we go into clients who are selling at the lowest price because they've been painted into commodity corner. When we go in and we uncover all of the value propositions that they have taken for granted in their own company, they realize they should not be selling and be the low-cost provider. We've had one client who's a trucking company. He raised his prices and didn't lose one customer because he began to articulate the value he brings to the customer, and he did not allow that to happen, as you described.
Right.
So let me ask you, what else will companies need to pay attention to going forward in 2011?
To be successful, to thrive?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'm a man, sir.
Well, I mean, no conversation here would be complete without discussion of the Internet.
Of course.
And especially the Internet's ability to disintermediate, because that's taking enormous friction out of almost every imaginable transaction. So here's what I'm saying. Companies are going to have to look at their processes, and by that I mean how they do what they do. And they're going to have to ask themselves this question. If we were not already doing this way, would we start doing it this way now? And if the answer is no, then they're going to have to change it. And I also would point out, according to Gary Hamel, at least 80% of the factors that are likely to disrupt any company's way of doing business are happening right now, but they're happening in a different industry, and they're going to migrate. So basically, expense productivity, that's a metric that needs to be on everybody's dashboard. Most industries can make year-on-year productivity improvements, as you obviously know. If you want to thrive rather than just, you're going to have to figure out how to beat that by at least 20%, and that's what's going to make you a champion.
That's interesting, too, because recently I was looking at commercial real estate for possibly moving my offices, and the commercial realtor said to me, you know, I don't really know why you want to move, because people are going much more to virtual offices. They're going to open space, where you don't even need offices because people are going to be working closer and tighter. You need one conference room for people to make their phone calls. Very different than we've been traditionally in the past. And commercial real estate, we know, is one of the industries in trouble. And if that's the trend, they're not going to be coming back anytime soon.
Right. And for you, what that means is reducing your expenses and increasing your productivity.
Right.
Right?
Right.
See, every company is going to have to try to figure out how to be the low-cost provider in their space. Right? Because if you are, think about it. That gives you a certain luxury. You can choose.
Now, I want to differentiate low-cost provider, not low price.
No, no. Oh, absolutely.
Just want to make sure our listeners pick up on that.
We can make the highest quality, highest price product, but be the lowest cost.
That's right.
Right? Lowest cost basis. Because if you're the low-cost provider, which should be every company's goal, at least to strive towards that, you have a luxury. You have one of two choices. You can say, because I'm the low cost, I can make more profit. Right? Or, because I'm the low cost, I can afford to lower my prices and get more market share. And that, I mean, what's not to like about that?
That's right. All right, well, Ian, let me just ask you, if I could, another question. Just what advice do you have for CEOs who want to address this aspect in their corporate cultures, this idea of change and
cooperation and between, you know, IT and you mean the issue we addressed earlier about change being systemic
and
different functions having to. Yeah, well, here's an exercise I do with my clients. I say exercise, it's not a game. I mean, it's a serious process, right? I take a couple of flip charts. On one flip chart, I ask them to identify what are the factors that increase the commitment of your team members to your cause.
Interesting. What kinds of answers do you get for that? Give us some examples.
Well, it might be something like rewards, our training programs, the type of people we hire,
the environment,
what we reward. Exactly.
Okay.
And then ask them to list the factors that decrease the commitment of team members to their cause. By the way, it could be the same things.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Okay.
It could be the same things. Now, when I start that, I don't have any idea what's going to see the light of day. But I say, look, these items need to be high on your agenda, and the sooner the better, because companies need to have a culture of interdependence and cooperation if they're going to, you know, move fast in today's marketplace.
And I am a firm believer that all crumbs lead to the top, so the leaders have to embrace this kind of thinking. They have to be willing to listen, and a lot of them are not good listeners. We had Miles Martell on the radio show a few weeks ago, and he coaches Fortune 100 company leaders, and the number one thing he says is the biggest problem is a lot of them don't listen to their people. So the listening skills of listening to the people and listening to the customer are key. We have to wrap up. Ian, I want to thank you for being with us. Do you have a website our listeners can go to for more information? Because I got to wrap it up right now.
Certainly, www.corporatelifecycles.com.
Thank you so much for being with us, Ian. And listeners, thanks for being with us. Please visit mindyourbiztoday.com and give us your comments on shows and requests for topics you'd like to see in the future. I am Janie Smith, your host. I am CEO of Smart Advantage. Our website on creating competitive advantage is smartadvantage.com. Please come visit us at either of those sites. We'd love to hear from you. And if you've got something to say and want to be on the show someday, let us know that too. So we'd love to have you. Welcome. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to being with you again next Friday. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.